join me in prayer. Father, we're so thankful that we have your word that reminds us, Lord, of all the wonderful things you've done. That for thousands of years before you sent your son, you gave prophecy. You shared with us, you shared with men, that you would be sending your son. That we would have the blessing of the Messiah who would take upon himself the sins of the world. Father, we ask you, would you help our hearts to remember? We get so busy, Lord, that we kind of rush right over the Christmas story. This morning, Lord, would you help us as we slow down, as we are reminded of a great blessing that you've given us. We bless your name as we read your word. And all God's people said, amen. In Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, the scripture says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went up to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. He went there to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. It was a holy night, a most holy night."
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, know it divine, oh, night when Christ was born. for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy.
I'm sure that this week, especially yesterday, that you took time to give gifts to each other. It's Christmas time is a time of giving. It's a time to share. But you know, the greatest gift, and we say this, and it's taken so lightly, is it not? That the greatest gift ever given was given by God the Father. The gift of His Son and the gift of Christ Jesus to you and to me and to anyone that would receive Him, that He would come to take off His crown. Caleb sang a song at the other night at the Christmas Eve service. Oh, it just touched my heart. He said, the song talked about how He took off His crown and came to a lowly manger. What a gift to you and to me that Christ would come. And not just to come. The wonder of it all is that Jesus did not just come to us and for us, but that He came with a purpose. He didn't just come to say, I think I'll go down and see what's going on with mankind. He could have done that from heaven, couldn't He? But He took upon Himself a pure and holy life. He took upon Himself the responsibility of my sin, of your sin. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. Let me ask you, what kind of child can do all that? What kind of little one can do all of this? Only one. Only the child of God. Amen? God's Son. And we call Him Emmanuel because He is God with us. Jordan is going to sing, What Child Is This?
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring Him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring Him incense, gold and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own Him, the King of kings. Salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone Him. Raise a song on high. The Virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring Him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
What a wonderful gift. What a wonderful birth. Do we take the time to stop and think and reflect on those things? Our God, dear friends, our God, our King, God with us. Would you stand with me? Stand with me at the manger. I wish each of you could come with me to Israel to see Bet Halem, to see the shepherd's field, to see the cave, to go inside and to feel the closeness there and think, this very well could have been the place, if not definitely a place like it. Stand with me at the manger. Close your eyes just a moment. Can you picture it? Christ Jesus, the tiny babe, lying in the manger. Shepherds coming in from the field. It was indeed, dear friends, a holy night. Sing with us, Silent Night.
Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in. silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory streams from heaven afar, alleluia, Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't just come, but that he came with a purpose? There are some things that as we look at his birth and his death, there are some things that bring us to remembrance. Prophecy tells us that Jesus was going to come and that he would be wounded for our sins, that he would bleed. None of his bones would be broken, but that when he died, a spear would be thrust into his side. And the scripture says very specifically that blood and water came from his side. Now, where else in the life of Christ do we see blood and water? In his birth. In his birth and in his crucifixion, we're reminded of blood and water. Let me ask you this. Where would the manger be in our memory? Where would it be in importance for us if it was not for the cross? If it wasn't for the cross of Christ, how important would the manger be? The earthly path to our redemption was through the cross. And it came through the birth and the life of our Savior Christ Jesus. His birth and his perfect life, the birth and perfect life of God's Son, would absolutely leave us cold because he is a just God. It would absolutely leave us cold if it were not for his sacrificial death. So when we remember the birth, friends, we need to remember his perfect life and his death and how it unfolded in mercy and in warmth and in love, because our celebration of his birth needs to be wrapped up, if you will, in the swaddling clothes of his grace and of his crucifixion. Our awe at Advent is not just that he came, but our awe at Advent is that he came to be crucified. We've been to the manger. I'm going to ask you to come with me now, if you will, to the cross. We move from Bethlehem to the outskirts of the city of Jerusalem. Listen to Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. Scripture says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better or more important than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and becoming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. We sing an old song that ought to be a reminder for us, the old rugged cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. It's shame he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Can you imagine what that day was like? When Christ, who was beaten and humbled so terribly, where he was taken outside the gates of the city to a place they called Golgotha. It means the place of the skull. If you could see it, and you can look it up online, you can see it in pictures. It's a short cliff that looks like a skull. Today, where they believe, or where the current church believes the crucifixion took place, Calvary, is glassed in. It's covered with glass. It's covered with a frame. And as you walk into the place, they've got a big church built over the top of it. And they walk through it in hushed tones. But I'm going to tell you, as you walk through it, you can certainly get a sense that you're near the place that Christ Jesus was crucified. But friend, I wonder how many other people would glass in Calvary. How many people would put it in a case that where nobody could touch it, where nobody could be near it, where the salvation of Christ, where Jesus Christ gave himself, would be removed from the touch of man. I think there's a lot of us in our pompness, if you will, would hold back salvation as we judged others. I remember as I saw Golgotha for the first time, the picture back up there of that. Now, you can't really see it here, but if you'll look just above that post where it says the A and the end of Golgotha, there's a post. And if you'll follow that post all the way up, and then just to its left, you can see one of the eyes of the skull. Can you see it? Now, right there across from Golgotha is a Muslim bus station. Back in the early 1900s, when this was first found, when they had built a church over the top of where they said that Jesus was crucified, and then as a Christian man was searching the place, he went out and he found this. It looked much more like a skull. But after they found it had been proclaiming, we think this is where Calvary really was. The Muslims and even some of the Jews began to deface it so that it looked less and less and less like the skull. Friend, that's why they called it Golgotha. We say Golgotha. But Golgotha, dear friend, was the place of the skull. This is where on top of this mountain, I believe, with all my heart as I stood there and looked at it, so this is where Christ was crucified. Jesus, with the soldiers around him, with that cross laid on the ground and those heavy spikes put into his hands, into his feet. And then the soldiers, it took several of them because they would pick up that cross and they would drop it into the deep hole. Now remember, they didn't have a lot of soil there. What they had was rock. So they had to have hewn a deep hole in that rock where the cross itself would, when it fell in, would just fall and hit the bottom, and Christ on the cross would be jarred. We're reminded as Christians that we didn't come to Christ so that we might be served, but that we might be like him. Matthew verse 20, verse 28 tells us that the Son of Man did not come to be served. He didn't come to receive the accolades, but instead he came to give his life as a ransom for many. When God wanted to present the prophet Isaiah with a picture of the coming Messiah, he gave us glimpses of his birth, and we've read some of those scriptures, Isaiah chapter 7, Isaiah chapter 9, and he talked about the birth, and he talked about the virgin, and that his birth would be in this wise, you recall. But in order to give Isaiah a fullness of understanding of the coming of the Messiah, the one who would take upon himself the sins of the world, He took the prophet in spirit, if you will, to the foot of the cross. Not just a manger. Not just a birth scene. But to an execution. He let him see the whole ordeal of bearing up the sins of the world. Listen to Isaiah as he sums it up. Isaiah chapter 53. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Amen? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on himself the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. And yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressor. Dear friend, if you would reverence Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, there is no doubt that you need to see him in the manger, born of a virgin, announced of angels, called out to be God with us. But friend, if you are going to reverence Christ truly and fully, you don't need just to see him in the manger. You need to see what Isaiah saw. And he wrote it as if it had already happened when he says he did this and he saw this and he did this. It was written thousands of years before Christ was born. We need to see, as Isaiah saw, Jesus lifted up on the place of the skull, lifted up on the cross, bearing my sins, bearing your sins, the sinless Son of God, rejected by men and forsaken by God when he turned his head away from having to see his Son with all that sin. This is the Jesus in whom you have to trust to be saved. There's an irreverent movie out, and I've heard it quoted. And it's about a guy who says, I'll pray to the Jesus I want to. And I'm going to pray to the little 7-pound baby Jesus, this and that and this. Now, you've seen the movie. Listen, if you want to pray, the Jesus you better pray to is the one who conquered the cross, who rose from the dead, who's gone to sit by the right hand of God the Father, who died for you. We don't pray to the baby Jesus. We pray to the resurrected Jesus. This, friends, is a reminder that Jesus Christ is indeed the child of the manger. But he is so much more. Much, much more.
Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Father, forgive them, my Savior prayed, even while his lifeblood flowed fast away, praying for sinners while in such woe. No one but Jesus ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, he's dying for me. Blessed Redeemer, blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, for sinners pleading, dying for me. How I love him, Savior and friend, how can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my song shall praise him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me.
Do we acknowledge that we are the cause of Christ's wounds? The wounds in his hands, the thorns on his head, the nails in his feet, the reason that God the Father turned away from Jesus on the cross because he was so covered with our sin. Do we acknowledge that we're sinners whose only hope is the work of Christ Jesus on the cross of Calvary? Do we? We must partake of the suffering Jesus before we can enter the benefits of what he's done. We may not fully understand it, and I'm not sure that we do or that we ever will until we get there and have full and perfect understanding. But until that day, we understand what we can, that Christ Jesus died for me. I hope, I trust, I pray that you have indeed done this, that you have trusted in the crucified Christ. If the only Jesus you serve is the baby Jesus, the one who came, the one that the angels sang about his birth, that that's the only one, and friend, you need to to come to the full Jesus, the whole Jesus, the one who died for you, the one who rose again. If you've not done that, I pray that this would be that day, that you might discover what real Christmas joy is about. Not just the birth of the Savior, but the resurrection as well. The Christmas that He intended you to enjoy. Friend, we're going to stop and we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. I'm going to ask our deacons and those who have been asked to help, would you come forward at this time? Travel with me to the cross. In heart, in mind, in remembrance. Friends, let's go to Christ Jesus and see Him wounded on the cross for our transgressions. Our closing hymn is going to be Joy to the World. Would you sing with us?
Joy to the world, the Lord is come.
Sing it out.
Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven, nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let on their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Joy, unspeakable joy, an overflowing well no tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy, it rises in my soul and never lets me go. And He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness. And wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders of His love.
Sing it out, His joy.
Joy, unspeakable joy, an overflowing well, no tongue can tell. Go!